Howdy, everybody. Welcome to West Virginia Commonplace. Today, I am here with Robert Braille, and his last name's amazing. I do want to say that because we're having that last name Braille like that people think of what the sign language people look at, but it's not the case. So what I want to do real quick is do the nostalgic question that we always do. Who is Robert Braille, and what are you here to talk about today?
I'm here to talk about marketing and advertising. I've spent 20 years in the business and I have an advertising firm. So that's what I like to talk about.
Okay, so can you share some key insights from your 20 years of experience in the advertising industry?
to get good at anything, it's important to put in the repetition to build the muscle. Whether you're just starting out or you've been in the business for 20 years, a big part of the success we've had is iterating, understanding what works and what doesn't, and growing based off of those learnings. That I think is relevant for everything. I can go into detail about specifics around marketing and advertising. Do you want me to do that?
Oh yeah, go ahead. Take your time and do that because the thing is that with the advertising that you do, and I want to make this straight and clear before we go any further, content creation. Everybody does some form of content creation, even if it's not social media wise, but just in general, people need to understand. This is one thing I would like you to, if you could differentiate the difference between marketing and advertising, or if there is
Yeah,
a difference. Could
they're
you do that for
100%.
us?
Yeah, so marketing is the larger entity. So marketing contains advertising, public relations, publicity, search engine optimization, and like a few other things. And so advertising in particular is a subset of marketing where you have to pay to reach people with messages. So when you're scrolling Facebook, for example, or TikTok or Instagram or X, whatever channel you're on, you're going to see like four or five posts that come from your friends and family and the things that the algorithm thinks you're interested in. And then one of those posts is going to be an ad, something that you aren't particularly interested in, but the algorithm has put an ad in front of you because someone paid to reach you specifically. So that's advertising. So when you see a commercial on television or on Hulu, when you see a billboard on the side of the road, whether it's a screen that rotates every 8 to 15 seconds with the message, those are all ads. A business is paying to reach people. So if you're not paying to reach people, you're not paying a publisher or a website owner or something like that. You are not advertising. You are promoting or marketing or some other thing that is it's unpaid. Now, that doesn't mean that there isn't money involved. Certainly you have PR agencies that you pay and you have search engine optimization specialists, but by definition, advertising is paid media.
Okay, and I like that because there's so many misconceptions with it. Because whenever, and I hate to bring up podcasting, but whenever all of the podcasters get together and we start having these little meetings and they're talking about marketing and advertising, I always put a pause on them about the advertising point because I'm like, all day long, people, teach us about marketing, but we don't learn anything about advertising and how that gets, gets you out there in the world. And I always said that. I would love to find a company that could just teach podcasters how to advertise or getting to advertising beyond marketing. Because you can market all day, you can learn about SEO, like you said, and go from there. Now, let's get over to Braille Media. What inspired you to establish Braille Media and focus on making digital advertising accessible to businesses?
Yeah, so for the first 10 years of my career, I worked at big agencies, two multinational agencies, and then two, relatively speaking, smaller, still like billings of like $600 million, et cetera. So large companies nonetheless. And I saw the power of how big brands, Bacardi, Toshiba, PetSmart, Sony, Disney, Capcom, Northrop Grumman, et cetera, were using paid media or advertising to grow. And there had been some shift in and change in the advertising business over the course of my career. And I thought, well, I think there's an opportunity to bring the knowledge, insights, learnings that I have that I've gained over the first decade of my career and push it out to small and mid-sized businesses who really just don't have access to the insights that come with corporate media buying. And so that's why I launched Braille Media for businesses to grow scalably. Because when you look at advertising, advertising is the most direct path to predictable, repeatable, and scalable business growth. When you have that, you're on a rocket ship. And that's what we do for our clients. We create that rocket ship for clients.
Okay. Now, we're going to talk about Meta real quick. With over 10 million companies advertising on there, what are some common pitfalls you've observed that lead to failure in digital advertising? And the reason I asked about Meta first is because Meta, most of the time, is the, or Facebook we'll call it, is the forefront for smaller businesses. That's the first place they go. You know, they go there, and we'll definitely talk about LinkedIn and other places, but that's basically people's storefront, or you know, the door that opens up first. So talk a little bit about that, please.
The analogy for me is Meta is like driving a car. We all know how to drive. If we drive, like I live in Los Angeles, you have to drive. So most of us know how to drive, arguably. I maybe don't know the best how to drive, but you know how to drive, generally speaking.
Yes.
And so that's aligned with Meta. You know how to scroll Meta. You know how to interact with friends. You know how to send messages on Meta, on Facebook and Instagram. But if your car breaks and you need to fix it, like a lot of people, most people don't know how to fix cars. Like it's just you go to a mechanic, they fix it, they charge you a lot of money, and you're on your way, and the car is fixed. That's like advertising on Meta. The familiarity people have with Facebook and Instagram makes people think that they know how to advertise on the platform, but it's very complicated. It requires an expert. And the value of working with an expert is that you have the opportunity to save tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands or millions of dollars in making wrong or the bad investment decisions by spending your money on Meta. And you save yourself lots of time so that you can accelerate your business. So when we talk about Meta in more practical terms, one of the biggest mistakes I see businesses make often is they boost posts. Meta makes boosting posts accessible because they want every mom and pop business owner to be able to spend a few hundred dollars a month, which Meta earns in revenue, and it makes the business feel like they're in the game of marketing and advertising. But there's no strategy, there's no overall thinking, there's no real strong way to assess performance, and chances are you're optimizing your ads to the wrong metric. You need leads and sales. You don't need likes, comments, and shares, because likes, comments, and shares don't pay the bills. So don't boost posts. Work with someone. So I'll give an example. Our company, we charge minimum fee to work with us is $1,500. That's a
Okay.
very low barrier to entry.
Right.
$1,000 of that goes to, advertising on Meta, and $500 comes to us to manage the advertising. So if you have $1,500 a month, it's so much more powerful to set a strategy, think about who your audience is, the transformative value, your economics, and develop a strategy so that you can actually achieve your business goals rather than just flushing a few hundred dollars down the drain every month to say that you to feel comfortable to make it just feel like you're in advertising and marketing. So the big thing is stop boosting posts and start working with an expert on Meta.
Okay, and I thank you for that, man. Like, that is hard-hitting. Now, how does Brill Media help businesses overcome challenges such as product market fit and effectively utilizing digital channels?
Absolutely.
And that's almost the same question I just asked you a moment ago, but this time let's throw in LinkedIn. And I'll tell you a quick story real quick, because I want to put a little filler here. My deal with LinkedIn is this. Me personally, as a podcast, we have a hard deal with soliciting people, because we you either have to do sponsors or you do investors. And I turn to investors because I found that someone that invests in my show, they're gonna ask for certain things and they're gonna provide certain things. So we went with a company, which I don't mind disclose, called Anchor Nebula. They do projectors. And projectors, for instance, on the sister show to mine, Spares Under Review, obviously it's used way more over there because that's a movie review show. But in turn, I just threw an affiliate link in, sold a few of them, or quite a lot of them. And that's an $800 projector. So from that point on, with what I got from that, I decided no longer to worry about, other channels when it came to that. And then I got hit with this. I do something in podcasting called listener migration, which is a course that you can teach, or a way to teach people how to do things. So then I had to go back over to LinkedIn and start dealing with the business individuals again and trying to figure out, like, how do I approach these people about advertising on other podcasts and show them that podcasting is a good medium to do that on. So with my whole LinkedIn practice, I'm stuck because people like the hot sell that I do, but then it's just a cold call later because they just forget about it. So
yeah. So you're talking about the monetization of your podcast through advertising. Is that right?
Yes.
Right. So when advertising from a marketer standpoint is good to grow a business. Now, from your perspective, you're trying to monetize the podcast effectively. So when you talk about advertising the podcast, there's a few things here. Number one, it's a game of numbers. You've got to reach out to a lot of people and you've got to offer them, as you mentioned, the product market fit, the right price, the right offer, the right package, the right bundle that's going to motivate them to spend money with you. If you're priced too expensively, then they're not going to spend money with you. Now, there's a few ways to think about expensive or cost. There's the discrete hard cost. Okay, am I spending $500, $1,000, $20,000? What am I spending to sponsor the podcast? So if your number is too high for the business that you're talking to, they're not going to buy. So then you have two options. You either go to a business who has more money or you lower your cost. So that's number one. The second thing in what we do, one of the sort of things that we are trained to think about in the marketing and advertising space is unit cost. What's the value that we're getting out of that podcast sponsorship? How many individuals are we reaching? How many times will the audio or the video ad be seen and heard? And there's a measurement there. And so I think you have two metrics to look at. Cost. If someone's going to pay you $1,000 for sponsorship, when you ask for $2,000, they'll just automatically say no. And then what am I getting for that $1,000 sponsorship, as an example? And the way you make the sponsorship really appealing is, I mean, your listenership is your listenership. There are certainly methods and practices to increase your listenership, but for like today, it's the number of listens you have. Like you're not going to change that today. Over time, you will. So you have a discrete number of listeners. You can't change that number because it is what it is, but you can add value in other ways. You can call out the brand multiple times in the show. So you have a frequency component. Advertisers like frequency because it builds awareness. That's number one. Number two, you can offer to post the brand in social. So you're not just doing the audio or the video, you're doing across all your social channels. So your social listeners get access to that. So you're just posting content, promoting the brand. The third is if you have any in-person meetups or any activities that you, community events, et cetera, you may not have that, I don't know, but that's an opportunity to integrate the brand into the event as well. The fourth thing I would be looking at is email marketing. Like if you have an email list, right? The email list is going to be very valuable for you to grow your show. And also it's going to be valuable to your brand. Another thing, the fifth thing that you want to be talking about. So you want to be integrating the brand inside the email list, shouting them out. Another thing you want to be thinking about and selling to is a link back from your website. Link back to your website is valuable for the benefit of search engine optimization. The thing about search engine optimization is when other sites link back to a business, that tells Google and Bing that this site, the advertiser's site, is valuable in a particular topic, whatever you're selling, flowers or dental stuff or advertising for me. So when other businesses link back to the website, it helps the business's SEO. So you're now improving their SEO with a do follow link. That's another thing you can look at. So what I'm really saying here is you want to look at the totality of your assets.
Okay, yes.
Far beyond just the podcast. Now, the other thing that I would also be doing is I would actually be sponsoring. You know, one thing that I haven't seen been done on podcasts, either because it's uncouth or people just haven't thought about it. So I don't know if this is bad or good, but it's an idea, is when you post shorts of the podcast on your social channels, I would also shout out the advertiser as well, right? So if you post a clip of this and you have the brand, also shout out to XYZ business because there's, I'm drink, you know, it's like, oh, P.D. Pablo, remember P.D. Pablo? I'm drinking it and they're paying me for it.
Right, you're right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, I got you.
Get back to college.
Yeah, oh my Lord. Back to my North Carolina days, man. Yeah. That takes me back there. And I appreciate that. Now, here we go. Can you elaborate on the importance of using data from advertising to make better business decisions and how Braille Media incorporates this into its strategies? Yeah. Because you went over the part about the podcast, and I thank you for that. That's going to be a hidden gem in this episode. When I do the transcript for this, I'm going to tell you it will be amazing because when those show notes come out, they'll see the different little points there. But I want to get more into what you have going on with your company beyond just that little bit right there, because I know that's just a little handful of knowledge, but there's so much more that y'all do with data.
Yeah, I mean, I think data, you know, when you talk, there's a lot of talk of like big data, you know, Google, for example. Something interesting that just happened is Google is paying Reddit $60 million a year for access to Reddit's data so that Reddit can actually give Google its data to train Google's large language model. That's big data. But every mom and pop business or mid-sized business, you don't need to have big data to make it powerful and valuable data. So there's a few things that we evangelize for just as best business practices. Whether you work with us or you don't work with us, data is very important. Let's talk about the intricacies of that. Data is going to be the insight about who your customers are. Where do your customers come from? Having the knowledge of, you know, we have 10% of our sales coming from the website, 30% coming from, I'm making it up, Amazon. Yeah. And you know, that's 40%. And so the other 60%, you may not know where the other 60% is coming from. So it's incumbent upon you as a business owner to really understand where 100% of your sales come from. That's the first insight. Because if you're working with us, I'm going to ask you, so where do you get your sales from? How have you generated sales? And you may not be able to tell me that's 100% okay. But one of the things that we're going to do is help you understand where your sales are coming from. Another thing about data is, you know, advertising, there's two key benefits to advertising. The first one is obvious. We need to grow our business. And again, don't worry about likes, comments, and shares. Worry about like keeping the accounting team busy. So when you look at the data from advertising, there's a second benefit. It's a real-time focus group that tells you what customers want from your business right now. And that data comes in the form of, you will know which products and services people really like or don't like about your business, which offers and discounts resonate, which audiences are more responsive to your marketing and advertising than others. And over time, you are going to understand how to calibrate your business to really meet the needs of your audience, which goes back to your earlier question about product market fit. So when we handle advertising campaigns, we're not just here to actually grow the business. We're actually here to give you more insight. So in other parts of your business, you can calibrate against what the marketplace wants right now. And that's how data is used in the marketplace at scale for every mom and pop business or mid-sized business or even large business.
Okay. And I thank you for that. Now, my next question, in your opinion, what are some sustainable tactics for long-term growth in digital advertising?
Chances are your customers are on Meta. Let me also be very clear. I'm not here to actually specifically sell Meta advertising, nor Google, nor Hulu, nor TikTok or X or et cetera. We are media agnostic. If tomorrow everyone started reading the newspaper again, we'd be running ads in the newspaper. What we're here to do is be smart, effective business people to help companies grow. Now, the reality is that in 2024, 45% of all digital advertising will be run on the combined Google or Meta. So Google and Meta are still going to be very important channels. Chances are you have to be on Meta. if you've ever been in a position where you said, oh, Meta doesn't work for me, or Google doesn't work for me, or advertising doesn't work for me, here's a surefire way to ensure that you're going to grow in your business. So
okay,
there's three steps. Number one, broad targeting on Meta. Age, gender, and location. No more keywords or interests. No more lookalikes and retargeting. It's because Meta is really good at routing your ad creative to the right people. So the broader the audience is, the more leeway it has to actually get your ads in front of the right people. The second thing you're going to do is a creative testing framework. And now if this is a little off to the side, a little bit of a tangent, what I'll say is on our website, we have some detail about this. Email me, robert@brillmedia.co. Just put in the subject line Facebook ads, and I'll send you a link to this. But it's a creative testing framework. All you have to do is create 5 ads a month. 5 ads are comprised of headline, image, or video. So it can be a static image, which does really well on Meta. And by the way, ugly ads do really well too. So you don't have to be a creative artist, okay? And then the headline at the bottom. So primary text, image or video, headline at the bottom. You create 5 of those. When you mix and match all the different possible variations of 5 headlines, 5 images or video, or 5 primary text, you have a total possible combinations of 125 possible ads. Whoa. You're not going to run 125 ads. You're going to use science, control, and variable testing powered by Meta's algorithm to find your best customers. It sounds complicated. It's very easy. And what the third step is, you're going to have 1 ad per month that is your all-star ad. And that is how you get that insight about which products and services, offers and discounts and audiences really resonate for your business. So email me Facebook ads in the subject line. I'll just shoot you back a link. And that will give you the detail on how to actually do this effectively. Dramatic improvement.
Okay. Now, let's talk about a little bit of success or maybe a case study where Braille Media's approach to lead significant business growth to a client happened, if you don't mind sharing one.
Yeah. I mean, I can talk about a brand, a consumer products brand that we were selling, e-commerce. So we were we implemented this method. And we went from about $90,000 a month in advertising to about $300,000 a month in advertising and scaled it profitably. Yeah. So from in 3 months, we went from 90 to about $300,000, scaled it profitably because this method works. Because you start, what you're doing with this Meta framework is you are training Meta's machine learning algorithm to find your best customers. So you're using the power of AI. Everyone here, all the 10 million advertisers on Meta have the power to tap into Meta's algorithm to train it to find their best customers. So, and the goal, yeah, it's powerful if you know how to do it. Now, the thing is, this is what I meant earlier by saying you've got to work with an expert, because there's a lot of people on the internet who are going to say keyword targeting, interest targeting, a bunch of ad groups and all that stuff. But what Meta, and if you don't have to take my word for it, Google search for Performance 5, Meta Performance 5. Meta Performance 5 is Meta's manifesto of how they want advertisers to use their platform. And what it basically says is you go broad with all your targeting, you let creative find your best audiences, and you train Meta's machine learning algorithm. I'm not coming up with this stuff. I'm just saying this is what works.
Right. And I'm just amazed. I'm like, I'm going to have to go back and check all this stuff, not fact check it, but actually go look into it to see, because 100%. Like I said, a lot of people, they're, you know, our business models or the way that we were built on advertising on Meta is just boosted. And everything you're saying here, you know, is foreign to me when it comes to the stuff that I hear from the gurus and all these other people. So I do want to tell you, thank you for that. Now, one thing that we do on this show is we have a shameless plug. Could you tell everybody where they can meet and greet you, Robert, across the internet? Obviously, we know one place, but is there anywhere else they can meet you?
Yeah, our website is brillmedia.co, B as in boy, R-I-L-L, media.co. There's a start now button. And you'll have an opportunity to set a meeting with me. We'll talk about your marketing strategy. We're also creating a course we want to, one of the big passions that I have is I really enjoy working with agencies, and I want to start building, helping people build agencies. And we're going to teach people how to build advertising agencies. It's particularly relevant for two groups of people. One group are going to be sellers. People, anyone who knows how to sell anything can really be effective selling marketing and advertising. The second thing is for people, the second group is for people who don't have a lot of experience. Maybe they're just out of college or they didn't go to college, but they're really passionate about marketing and advertising. It's everything I've learned over the last 20 years and my experience is growing Brill Media, so you can effectively grow and not make the same mistakes I did.
Okay. And I want to thank you for that. And Robert, I want to thank you for coming on West Virginia and Commonplace and talking to us in a brief manner about all of this advertising and things that go on with you. The one amazing thing that happens in these episodes, audience, is this. A lot of more information that may not have been provided here will be provided in the show notes. So you'll be able to definitely reach out, contact Robert and the rest of the core at Brill Media, and you can get your advertising prowess taken care of by him and his associates. So once again, Robert, I want to thank you for coming on West Virginia and Commonplace.
Thanks for having me, JR.
Yeah, and we're signing off. Thanks.